Hello, everybody, and welcome to the American Shoreline Podcast. This is Peter Ravella, co-host of the show.
And this is Tyler Buckingham, the other co-host.
Tyler, we're going to San Diego today. We're going to go down to Mission Bay, a historic bay within the city of San Diego that, as many coastal bays and estuaries, Tyler, around the American shoreline, has been highly modified over the last 150 years. And no longer have many of the natural attributes that make estuarine systems and bay systems so wonderful and productive in so many ways, Tyler. And we're doing a show today to talk about Mission Bay and efforts by the San Diego Audubon Society leading an effort to rewild Mission Bay in San Diego. It's going to be a good show, Tyler, I think.
Oh, well, any excuse to head on down to San Diego is one that I'll happily jump on. And I just have to say that this business of rewilding, Peter, it's one of the trend lines on the American shoreline, really, since we've been doing this podcast. But I would definitely say, going forward, we hear a lot about the benefits of rewilding our coastal estuarine and riverine habitats areas, because we've done such a good job of unwilding them. We've turned them into kind of engineered spaces, overly engineered spaces, you might add. And this show today, Peter, we're going to get to dive in and look at why the Mission Bay in San Diego is undertaking a rewilding process. And this goes far beyond just, you know, the natural world. It's the social side of it too, right? How are people going to interface with this wonderful bay into the future? And we've got great guests today, Peter, to talk all about it.
We sure do. Joining us from the San Diego Audubon Society are three of the principal players who have been involved in the effort, the organization's effort to promote and lead the effort on Mission Bay. Andrew Meyer is the director of conservation for the San Diego Audubon Group, and will be leading this conversation today. Also joining us on the podcast today is Karina Ornialis. She is a volunteer conservation outreach coordinator on this project. And finally, Nora Ives, who's the conservation, also serves on the Conservation Committee for San Diego Audubon. Three people who have been directly involved in the development of this incredible effort locally there in San Diego. And Tyler, I just have to mention for the record, for listeners on ASP, longtime listeners, that Nora Ives was formerly a co-host of the All Swell podcast, as you know, Tyler, which is the Coastal Society's Duke Student Chapter podcast, which still is going on ASPN. So, Nora, welcome back to ASPN.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be back.
Well, I look forward to diving into this conversation, but before we get into it, Peter, let's have a quick word from our sponsors.
Support for the American Shoreline Podcast Network and Coastal News Today comes from Geodynamics, an NV5 company. Geodynamics' team of specialists provide accurate surveys of complex coastal environments around the world using the latest technology in marine geology, coastal science, and remote sensing. With customized vessels and sensor configurations, Geodynamics delivers meticulous data products to answer their clients' toughest questions. Visit nv5geospatial.com or geodynamicsgroup.com to learn more about Geodynamics and their solutions that improve lives. And from the Coastal Zone Foundation. The Certified Coastal Practitioner Program from the Coastal Zone Foundation offers courses covering 11 different subject areas, including coastal engineering, ecology, geology, project management, and more. The CCP program emphasizes a multidisciplinary approach to coastal zone management, setting you apart from the competition and demonstrating your commitment to best practices and a code of ethics in your field. With modules available online or as live short courses, the CCP program is accessible to coastal professionals at all stages of their careers. Learn more at coastalzonefoundation.org. And don't forget, subscribe to the CNT Daily Blast newsletter for the latest news and updates from around the American shoreline. Want to support our work? Learn more about sponsorship packages at coastalnewstoday.com/advertising.
Well, welcome to the show, Andrew, Karina, and Nora. We really appreciate the chance to talk to you and learn about the rewilding of Mission Bay. Andrew, if you would be so kind, can you introduce us to your effort, how long you've been with the organization, and why, if you wouldn't mind, this particular issue is so important for San Diego Audubon?
Sure. I'd love to. Thank you, Peter. It's an honor to be here. Thanks to Karina and Nora for helping to organize this and all the work that they've done so far on Rewild Mission Bay. The Rewild Mission Bay project is a project of the San Diego Audubon Society. Our chapter has been a nonprofit focused on birds, other wildlife, and their habitat in San Diego County since the 1940s. And we have been emphasizing the importance of conservation, importance of advocacy, the importance of education for a long time now. And this Rewild Mission Bay project, we started almost 10 years ago. So 2014, we'll almost hit our 10-year anniversary soon. And I think an important piece to this is that this great idea, Peter and Tyler started off by talking about the importance of rewilding and the importance of losing some of these habitats and the ecosystem services that they provide. All of this need in San Diego, this need in Mission Bay, we totally agree with, and it wasn't even our idea. It's been in the Mission Bay Park Master Plan since 1994 that Mission Bay needed some of this restoration work, a lot of this restoration work, in order to get back to a healthy, balanced ecosystem. So we picked it up in 2014 and have provided a feasibility study and a whole lot of advocacy trying to push the region and the city of San Diego towards a wetland restoration project in one corner of Mission Bay.
Would you do me a favor and talk a little bit about what Mission Bay is for members of our audience that have never had the pleasure of seeing, of laying eyes on old Mission Bay? What is Mission Bay and why is it worthy of this effort?
Mission Bay is what we call Mission Bay now. This has been an important place for birds and lots of other wildlife on an evolutionary time frame. So we're talking thousands and thousands of years. It's an important lagoon and estuary ecosystem on the Pacific Flyway. So it's a critical stopover for a lot of species that are going north up towards the Arctic and the northern U.S. and Canada. And then those same species and other ones that are heading back down south towards some of the dry forests and tropical forests in Central and South America. So it's an important stopover on that long flight path. It's an critical place for a lot of resident birds that we have that spend their whole year right in Mission Bay. And it's a recreational gem for the city of San Diego. So the city of San Diego says that 15 million people visit Mission Bay every year. It's a huge tourist attraction, and it's beautiful. I've had many birthday parties for my kids and neighbors right in Mission Bay. It's an awesome attraction, and it was steered towards this human recreation focus in the 1940s. A lot of planning went on in the 1940s, and a lot of dredging and island making in the 1950s and 60s. So for a relatively short amount of time, when we think about that evolutionary perspective, and when we think about the Native American cultures and societies that have been living along the sides of what we now call Mission Bay, it's only been like this for about 75 years. And that's an important kind of timescale to be thinking about, is that we've drastically altered the bay in the last 75 years. And this Rewild Mission Bay project gives us a chance to return some of that. For human benefits, certainly, for everybody who uses this recreational park, we need cleaner water, we need sea level rise resilience. The Native American communities that had a connection here and have had that connection severed, they need access and space back in this place, in this regional park. And then certainly from our perspective, there's a whole lot of birds that would be a lot happier if there were some mudflats, some tidal wetland habitats, some transitional zones restored in this recreational space in San Diego.
Thank you for that. That's really informative, and I really appreciate kind of this long view of that. Mission Bay has been a feature on the landscape down in that part of the American shoreline for thousands of years on an evolutionary timescale. That's a really interesting way to think about it. Nora, what created the bay naturally? I'm looking at a satellite image of San Diego right now, and I do see kind of a channelized watershed adjacent to the bay. But historically, what would this bay area have looked like, and what caused it?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you, Tyler. I may have to punt this one over to Andrew again. Sorry, Andrew. But I will also just add in to sort of locate our audience listening who may not be in the San Diego area, that if you've ever been to SeaWorld in San Diego or have heard of it, that's another way to locate you towards Mission Bay, as SeaWorld is on the, southeast corner of
southern
it? Yeah,
side.
There we go, southern side. And as Andrew already mentioned, it's currently used, you know, for recreation. There's Fiesta Island Park in the middle of the bay, which, as it sounds, is a great place to go hang out and party with friends, and you can even bring your dogs. And people are always kayaking and paddleboarding in that area as well. Although I will say, as a recent relocated person to San Diego, anecdotally, people are always like, yeah, the water quality, not so great. Taking a risk if you go kayaking there, which has sort of piqued my interest when I first heard that from friends after moving here. Like, why is the water quality so bad? And I know for a fact there's something we can do about that. And sure enough, found out about Rewild and how that's part of the mission statement of the project to improve the water quality naturally.
So, Nora, in the website, for listeners out there following along, if you have a chance to, if you're not driving, running, or jogging, or otherwise, you know, occupied, rewildmissionbay.org is the website for the project. There's a lot of background information here. And in looking through that, Nora, what I read about here was this is a bay of 4,600 acres of water, 27 miles of shoreline. The bird species that depend on this bay and the health of the ecology of this bay, 144 species of birds, 56 plant species. It's been highly, highly modified. Nor what I'm reading about is that what we're talking about here are some of the remnant wetlands and the restoration of some of the wetlands that perhaps 90% of the natural ecological habitat has been affected by human decisions. To the extent, according to the site, Mission Bay is the largest man-made aquatic recreational area in the United States. It's been highly modified. Talk to us about what's left and what you're trying to accomplish in the rewilding project.
Sure. Yeah. So as you mentioned, it is a highly modified bay, and some of the issues that it faces today are ramifications of that modification. You know, we no longer have the wetland doing its amazing eco-service of naturally cleaning the water and keeping the whole system healthy. So you've created this beautiful park to recreate in, but it's making people sick. So what's left, to answer your question, there's the Kendall Frost Marsh, which is located in the northeast corner. Correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew. You mentioned some of the species and the number of species, plant and animal species that reside in that fragment. But it also includes two federally listed endangered bird species, the Ridgeway Rail and the Bell, is it Bell Savannah Sparrow?
Belding Savannah Sparrow, yep.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. So Andrew, maybe you could speak more about Kendall Frost Marsh or Karina and the aims of Rewild Mission Bay to sort of build off that fragment.
Yeah, I can give an intro and then Karina can follow up. Karina knows this spot really, really well. She has partnered with UC San Diego's Natural Reserve System on many occasions. We partner with them often because they are the ones who own and manage Kendall Frost Marsh Reserve. And as Nora said, that little remnant wetland in the northeast corner of Mission Bay is is the memory of what the bay used to look like. It's a little postage stamp of tidal wetland habitat that UC San Diego has managed to keep in the bay as the rest of it was really changed for a recreational focus, a human recreational focus. That tiny, it's about 40 acres of tidal wetland that remains. And as you mentioned, Peter in the beginning, the regional park is over 4,000 acres. So we're talking about 1% of the bay that was left for those endangered species, for those common species, for that water quality filtering that a tidal wetland does, and for the beauty and peace and solace that a place like this provides. Karina, what are your favorite parts of Kendall Frost Marsh Reserve?
Will be the wetlands. I like how all the birds are always on the marsh, and also how important they are for the endangered species. Like this past January, we did some surveys about the animals that call home Kendall Frost, and we see the Redwood's rail population is a little low, so trying to expand the wetlands will be ideal for them.
And Karina, would you talk a little bit more about these endangered bird species that call Mission Bay home and that would be benefited by a rewilding? I'm not familiar with these birds. What are they like? What do they look like? What are their behaviors?
So right now, because the wetland is too little, like it's 1%, so the UC Reserve put like platforms so they can nest on those platforms, because where the water is too high, they cannot nest in there. So they use platforms so they can be nesting there. And right now we are doing a project where we can monitor the behavior of the Redwood's rail.
I'm looking at in the history of this area, Andrew, it seems the city of San Diego in 1994 released a master plan for Mission Bay. You mentioned that San Diego Audubon became an active player, advocates, including the development of a feasibility study on efforts to improve the bay in 2014. That's 20 years after the city of San Diego's original master plan. We are coming up, as you said, on the 10-year anniversary of San Diego Audubon's efforts to lead this coalition to improve the bay. So I'd like to ask, and this, I think this is very familiar, Tyler, to a lot of our listeners around the country who work on coastal projects and understand how difficult it can be to align the parties, to come up with strategies, to come to a consensus and work through the permitting process. It's a challenge. But Andrew, this has been a 30-year effort. If you go back to the 1994 master plan, can you talk a little bit about your coalition parties, and particularly about the role of the city of San Diego and your assessment, if you would not mind, of their participation?
Sure. Yeah. This is the frustrating part of it, and it's misery loves company, I guess, that you would put it in that setting. That this is a common problem. I know Mission Bay, I know San Diego pretty well now, but it's totally understandable that we have the same kinds of problems that exist in other important habitat areas that overlap with places where humans love to live and love to recreate. So when it comes down to it, I mean, that's the basic problem that we have here. The UC San Diego Kendall Frost Marsh Reserve is again that tiny little space that remains in the bay, and the rest of the bay is protected as a regional park owned and managed by the city of San Diego. It's on our coast, so there's some state component of the management and ownership of the park as well, but it's managed and loved by San Diego and the city of San Diego residents for sure. But it's also almost 100% focused on the recreational value of the space. And there is a lot of recreational value. And what we've been trying to do for the last 10 years, as you mentioned, Peter, that we want to try and get a little bit of this northeast corner of this 4,000 acre regional park restored back, so that there's some restoration available, some tidal wetland habitat available for these endangered species, the Ridgeway's rail, the Belding savanna sparrows, lots of other common species that use this area. we're trying to build this argument ultimately to the city, since it's city-owned regional parkland, that prioritizing wetland restoration along the coast here is what should be the highest value of our public park. And it's a hard argument to make that the master plan had this idea 30 years ago and nothing happened, as you mentioned, for 20 years. And then we've been pushing really, really hard for the last 10 years with a lot of coalition partners, and not enough has happened certainly so far. And it's because there's a lot of inertia to the land uses that are there currently. The lessees that use some of this space, use some of the public parkland, don't want to move. The people that know the park as it exists now, again, for a relatively short amount of time, but for generations, people are used to it doing and looking like the way that it does now. And it's a hard hill to get over to say, let's imagine what we need from our public park for the next 100 years and not be fenced in by what it's been like for the last 100 years. So for us, one other thing to this is, which is I think important for us, we got started on this because of the endangered birds that Nora and Karina were talking about. If they don't get some habitat restoration, sea level rise will blink out their required habitat. It'll become subtidal habitat, and these species will have lost out 100% of the habitat in Mission Bay. But when we talk to our other coalition partners, when we were building this coalition of over 75 organizations that are speaking with one voice to the city, we make a lot of different arguments as well. Some of us like birds a whole lot. Some of us couldn't care less. We're more interested in water quality improvement. We're more interested in sea level rise and the resilience to sea level rise that we need along our coasts. We're more interested in improved access, especially Native American partners and communities that want to reconnect to this area and get some of that cultural connection revived that they have to a place like Mission Bay and to Mission Bay specifically. And just recently, we've been doing lots of aiding a lot of fun research about carbon sequestration. And so there's a whole group of folks that are really jazzed about tidal wetland restoration and prioritizing our public park for that, because we know it's a great way to combat our climate crisis, because it's an incredibly efficient habitat at locking away carbon. So there's lots of different reasons why our coalition partners are saying that this is what we need to prioritize here.
Andrew, I think you put it well, and our listeners around the country who participate in these kinds of restoration activities and management of coastal systems would be very familiar with the description you just gave about the multiple users and multiple perspectives and how difficult it is to bring forward a coalition as you modify or attempt to bring back the natural systems that we have displaced on the American shoreline. I'm going to throw this out to the group, and whoever is the appropriate person to respond, please jump in. But let's declare someone to be the king or the queen of this region. What is it that you hope to improve in the Bay? What specific improvements does Audubon believe are appropriate to rewild Mission Bay?
Well, I mean, one of the, Peter, I take your point again, how universal this is for some of these, some of the land uses that exist now that are hard to convince people that we need to change and we can have better versions of them, plus some of the same arguments that we're making about why this kind of thing is worth it from around the country. That is inspiring. And I hope that we all get there soon. But I think the thing that we have honed in on, San Diego Audubon Society, and again, in one way or another, all of the members of our coalition and the supporters that we have met and partnered with over the last 10 years, we are specifically focusing on the habitat restoration piece to it. And that piece, knowing that the habitat has much changed in Mission Bay, and that if we can restore acres and acres of tidal wetland habitat, then we will get a lot of the water quality benefit to everybody else who uses the bay. We will get some sea level rise resilience and storm surge resilience to the neighbors that abut this northeast corner of the bay. We will get space for Native American communities to get back in the water and start celebrating and harvesting in the northeast corner of the bay the way they have since time immemorial, and the way that in a way that they haven't been able to do in the last 75 years as the bay has been changed and this kind of habitat has been dwindling and almost eked out. So I think what we are specifically, you know, focusing on is the habitat that we know birds need, but we know also provide a whole lot of human benefits to everybody else who uses this area. And we have, one of the things that we've certainly been trying to do is just celebrate how beautiful a tidal wetland is and get people into and near the tidal wetlands that we have left as much as possible so that it becomes more familiar, so that people get re-engaged and reconnected to this place. And so that we can say, isn't this place worth it? Isn't this, didn't you have learned something today? Didn't you have a good time? Wouldn't it be great if we could do this more often in a much larger, much more resilient, and a much more vibrant version of this? Right now we have just a small piece left and it's inaccessible to humans most of the time because we've got these endangered species and we've got everything that's there pushed into this tiny little remnant wetland. If we could restore and rewild Mission Bay with a couple hundred acres of tidal wetland, we'd have more opportunity for us, for humans, to get back into this space and reconnect to it as well as all of the other species that we need to share the bay with.
Wow. Well, I have got to say, Peter, you know, this is the sort of project that absolutely represents the future of kind of these heavily developed shoreline areas. I'm reminded of the Billion Oyster Project, Peter, in New York City, that is going about oyster reef restoration for the myriad of benefits that come with that: water quality, habitat, all of it. And here in Mission Bay, I mean, wow, what a little crucible. I mean, it's right there in the middle of all of this development. Andrew, could you talk about what this will cost? I mean, let's say I'm, you know, Peter talked about the king or queen. I'm going to be God for a day and I can snap my fingers and just make this thing happen. How much money do I need to give you in order to make this, to make your dreams come true?
Well, it's a good thing we've met, Peter. This is a good turn for our project. Well, so we did this Rewild Mission Bay feasibility study. That was the first step that we took. We got some grants from the State Coastal Conservancy and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to help bring about some ideas about the engineering required, the hydrology and sea level rise impacts in the coming century, and the cost to restoration from that idea that was in that master plan, again, 30 years ago. That feasibility study, we did lots of on the ground community meetings, a lot of input from people who have all kinds of ideas about the Northeast Corner, many of them still around and advocating for their own ideas. We finished that up after 4 or 5 years. So in 2019, San Diego Audubon Society started advocating for one of those alternatives, one of those examples that we know is feasible because it went through this feasibility study. And that alternative, again, pretty high level estimate is we're talking over $60 million in order to take this 100 acres, a couple hundred acres of the northeast corner of the bay and change it, restore it to what it used to look like in the 1930s and before. So that's a substantial chunk of change. But since then, certainly we have been educated on and been sharing information about how much it costs to keep it going the way that it is. So as sea levels rise, it'll get more and more expensive to have to have saltwater intrusion and to have storm surge affecting farther up the stream that comes into the bay here and the land uses that are there now, the parking lots, the electrical lines, the sewer lines, all of the pretty active recreation that we have there currently is going to have to be more resilient to sea level rise. And it's not ready for that. The city's own vulnerability assessments show sea level rise and storm surge impacts in all of the bay, but certainly in this corner as well. So it's cost a lot of money the way that it is. And on the flip side, we've been partnering with economists from UC San Diego that just published a really great op-ed in the local paper, talking about how valuable wetlands are on their own. So not only does the regional park cost in order to operate and maintain in the coming decades, you also have to compare that to the savings and the value of what it would be if it were restored to tidal wetland. And those savings come from water quality filtration, a lot of the things that we've been talking about, water quality filtration, a whole lot of tourism value, a whole lot of benefit to the local real estate from having a view on a thriving habitat instead of a more developed parkland. There's a lot of benefits that would come to the city. And because of that, and hopefully this is also pretty pretty familiar to a lot of the partners around the country that are working on the same projects, it's great that the state of California, a lot of the local, regional, county, and regional organizations, as well as the federal government, have been prioritizing coastal resilient projects just like this. So there is a lot of funding out there to help restore endangered species habitat, reconnect communities to this space, underserved communities, and especially Native American communities, as well as come up with a more resilient coastal shoreline. All of those things are things that we can do if we plan it correctly as we restore wetlands. And there's a lot of money that would come into San Diego to help those pieces of this regional park. So hopefully it will definitely cost a lot of money, but one thing we're missing is that really apples to apples comparison of how much it would cost to restore wetlands now and then how much it would save us in the coming century versus how much it would cost to keep things the way they are in the coming century. That's a hard comparison to have, but that is the crux of the matter about how valuable a natural habitat is compared to a more developed parkland.
It's a really excellent point, Andrew, that, you know, when you go and seek out to rewild a space, there are certainly certain like construction components that are like, you know, cost money to do right in the moment. But really the financial calculus has to be is more complicated. It goes into the future. It has to do with how the space will actually perform going into the future with regard to its ongoing maintenance costs and all of that. And I think that's just like a really excellent way to frame it up. Now, Nora, we've had the pleasure of having you on ASPN for some time. You've stepped away from your co-hosting duties, but we have some track record with you.
Yes.
What brought you into the fold in this project?
Oh, yes. Great question. Well, as Andrew just laid out, let me back up a little bit. I just recently moved to the San Diego area in August, and I'm working in the environmental field, and I knew I wanted to keep that advocacy muscle flexed while I started this career off in San Diego and got in touch with San Diego Audubon Society. I was very pleased to be welcomed into the fold, as it were. And then I heard about Rewild Mission Bay and was like, this is a no-brainer. You know, just as Andrew laid out, it will only improve and make the bay more resilient. You know, you mentioned as we look towards the future, well, speaking even more high level, we are facing this climate crisis, and one of the habitats native to this bay is eelgrass, you know, the seagrass, which has three times the ability to draw down and sequester carbon as forest habitat. And conversely, when we destroy it, when we lose it, that's three times the amount of carbon back into our atmosphere. So not only is it, you know, this project rewilding, not only will it improve the water quality, keeping all of our happy, you know, recreators on the coast happy, you know, it's also going to lower municipal costs. You know, you're having cleaner water in general. And, you know, the equity component is super important. And of course, I'm a bird lover, so we got our habitat for our endangered species. So again, just a no-brainer to me, as someone working in the field and just passionate about being active in our issues here in San Diego.
It can be a little bit frustrating to have to explain to the world out there that these natural habitat features have incredible functions and values, as the ecologists talk about. And then we all end up, as Andrew, you have to do, to monetize that understanding in a way to justify the expenditure of time, energy, and money to restore these habitats. But the truth is, I would say, Tyler, probably every listener on ASPN fundamentally understands why natural coastal wetland features are advantageous to the health and quality of the bay, are the economic drivers of tourism, and can and have tons of benefits both biologically, naturally, and economically. So I'd like to ask Andrew, Audubon has taken a lead role, as you said, now for 10 years trying to move this ball forward. Tell us the status of the effort to rewild Mission Bay. Where are you in the process? And what challenges do you face in executing the vision that Audubon has?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's been a long road, as you mentioned. Every day seems like it's too long. As we know, our climate crisis is affecting all kinds of habitats. It's affecting all kinds of societies and communities that are living along the coast and throughout the country and the world. So we obviously have a lot of urgency to this, and I think you and your listeners probably can appreciate that as well. But there is a long city process, obviously, that it takes in order to change a park this way. So the components that we are going through have kind of branched out into all of the ways that we can try and support wetland restoration, not only right in this one spot, which we're keeping our focus on, but also throughout the city of San Diego and the county. One of the neat ways that this is happening is that the county and the city both are working on and have been working on for years their climate action plans, which I know a lot of other states and communities are working on as well. Ours in San Diego are pretty good. And with a lot of advocacy from us and our partners, the city of San Diego just passed a climate action plan last year, 2022, that sets a goal for 700 acres of restored tidal marsh in the city of San Diego. So that was not on our radar in 2014, that would be the way to help move this along. But that's one way in which we have been getting some more understanding and some more familiarity with the value of this kind of habitat along the coast. We push for recognizing the value of all kinds of habitats in what they store and sequester. But we got it in because of lots of good research that exists. We got it in for tidal wetland habitat. So now we've added to our quiver of arguments is that, well, the city needs to find 700 acres. And well, we happen to have these 220 acres right here that's all ready to go. Why don't we prioritize this and get a move on? The city is in the middle of their land use planning project. We also helped the city get funds from our local regional water quality control board to create a new land use plan that was more wetland restoration heavy than their previous one from 5 years ago. That's good news as well. The city just released that plan and it's not as good as we hoped it would be. So it's moving in the right direction. They have prioritized wetland restoration more than anybody ever thought that they would in this regional park, in this corner of the regional park. So we've had an impact on the discussion, obviously, and we've had an impact on the land uses that the city proposed, which is great. But we're arguing that prioritizing tidal wetland right here is the best use of our public space. It's got all of these benefits. It's so beautiful. It's a place where we can go and recreate and get some kind of connection back to the park that we don't have now. It would be an added recreational benefit and an added tourist draw to the bay. And we're trying to make that argument so the city can get 100% of the way towards our wildest wetland restoration plan. The conversation, like I said, has matured and a lot of what we're talking about is not dismissed or brand new for a lot of the folks that we're arguing with or discussing with. But the city still is not all the way there because of a lot of the other competing uses that people want and expect and are used to. So we have to keep pushing this advocacy project along until we get to the point where we can change from an advocacy project back to a biological restoration project and a human reconnection project. And we're trying to do that. That's not my favorite part of the job, but in order to get the right setting for the public park in the next 100 years, we've got to push the city towards prioritizing coastal dependent tidal wetland restoration. It can only happen right here. It's the best place in the bay. And there's lots and lots of benefits that we know that everybody who uses the bay will accrue over the coming century.
Amen. I love to hear it.
Amen.
Karina, As Andrew just said, there's like a, quite a complicated community engagement component to doing this. There is a historic use of the bay that, you know, obviously, if you go back historical enough, you know, the thing was wild and we wouldn't have to do a damn thing. But in the past 75 years, it's changed a great deal. People are accustomed to the way it is today. Karina, what is your approach and how do you size up the community engagement piece to making Mission Bay rewilded?
So the past years, we have been trying to bring more people to know about the wetland. We have been hosting events so people can know about Gandalf Frost Marsh, because a lot of people don't know about Gandalf Frost Marsh and what the wetlands do. So like last year, we host a Latino Conservation Week over there. So we bring Latinos to the wetland, and people were surprised that they didn't know all the work that the wetlands do to keep everything clean and things like that. So right now we are trying just to bring more people to know about this beautiful place. And yeah, we're trying to restore it.
And if I can just, you know, how is it received when you bring people out to the wetland and educate them? Are they, what is the response to the rewilding idea?
Some people love it, say like, it will be amazing to have more wetlands so they can be able to enjoy more outdoors and then see more birds is what people like.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Well, I think what I love about this conversation is you are in the thick of it. You're pressing forward with the planning process that the city of San Diego has underway, advocating strongly for the restoration of a couple hundred acres of wetlands in this bay. Andrew, it doesn't sound like you're asking for too much. I mean, I think the case sounds very solid. But this is a microcosm, Tyler, of what we talk about on the American Shoreline Podcast Network all the time, and our show and others hosted on the network, is the complexity of the relationships that come into play when you try to move forward and modify or change, even beneficially, coastal environments. Tyler, it's all about bringing people into consensus, I think.
Totally. Well, as we've said, you know, the natural world wants to, you know, if we just let it go, it would rewild itself, you know, it just given enough time. The challenge is the people. The challenge is the social side. And whenever we talk about issues on the American shoreline, Peter, it's so often the case that we are talking about humans, really. We use science, we use physics, we use observation to help us understand our impacts, to help us understand the world in which we live and the benefits of this, that, or the other. But ultimately, it is in the human DNA to want to modify and change the planet. And we are increasingly becoming aware as a species, and certainly in our culture today, that there are negative impacts to that too. It's just not all prosperity, that in fact we can set ourselves backwards. And that's what this climate crisis discussion is all about. That's what the biodiversity conversation is all about. And that's why it's so incredibly important to get all of us humans out to the coastline to understand what's going on in the American shoreline and why we need to take actions and make changes to ensure that the American shoreline can thrive going into the future.
It's hard work. And I think you're quite right. It's a people problem. We're not talking about wildlife management as much as we are talking about community management and making decisions together that can stick and survive the process required. Andrew, we'd love to give you the last word here. Please tell our audience how they can learn more about your initiative and effort to rewild Mission Bay and how people can support it perhaps as well.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, Tyler and Peter. That's a great, great kind of closing argument there. Not only is there a social science and a human component to the impacts that we've had and figuring out, understanding those impacts and lessening them, but also there's a whole lot of power to the people who want to improve this area and these kinds of areas throughout the coast. And right now, the city of San Diego is, as I said, working through their land use plan for this area. So there's many years to come until we can actually start putting eelgrass plants in the ground and planting some pickleweed and sueta along the transitional areas on the coast. But we need folks to get involved in the Rewild Mission Bay project right now and tell the city of San Diego, it's a Mission Bay is a huge tourist draw. So they want to hear from around the country that people will come if there are wetlands that they can kayak through, if there are bird species that they know they can count on being there in the winter months as they're resting before their long journey. If they want to know that there's fungulous fish that are going to be have the parasites in their brains that will cause them to move in crazy directions. They want that kind of restoration and that kind of habitat. So folks can let the city of San Diego know that it is a draw. It is something that people want. They want not only for global climate change reasons, but also for very local quality of life issues and tourism issues. They want this project to go forward, and they'll come if it is, if they know that it's accessible and that they know that it has this great public backing and biological reason behind it. So the rewildmissionbay.org is our website. There's a lot of information there, especially right now, about how to comment on the city's plan. The city has is moving through our California Environmental Quality Act component, so it's a little Byzantine, but there is a way there to tell the city that prioritizing wetland restoration is most critical to everybody, especially local folks, but to everybody who wants to come to this space and wants to know that this kind of habitat is being restored for all of us.
Well, keep doing it is all I can say. You're doing the right thing. You're making the case. Your persistence and willingness to stay with the process, to organize and speak together, and to put this coalition together is absolutely the way to go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Andrew Meyer. He is the Director of Conservation for San Diego Audubon and one of the leading voices on the Rewild Mission Bay Project. Karina Ornelas, who's a Conservation Outreach Coordinator, and Nora Ives, who's also on the Conservation Committee for San Diego Audubon. We appreciate you guys sharing the story of Mission Bay with our audience and all you coastal advocates out there, especially the California folks, but nationally. These are all projects we care about because we care about the coast. And weigh in if you can, find the time, learn more about Mission Bay, and do what you can to help Rewilding Mission Bay Initiative by San Diego Audubon. It's a great project. And we thank you all for the time today and sharing the story with our listeners.
Birds on the lawn, sunlight at dawn, singing while the night on the roof.
Been a boy, take one, brother.
Beaches itself.